Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 9. In John chapter 9 is a story that we will look at, we'll get to here in just a little bit. On our way to John chapter 9, I just want to share with you a pattern that we see throughout the New Testament. It is a pattern where people who are willing to walk with the Lord, that he will lead them to join them in what he is already doing. And that in seeing that and in experiencing that, there is only glory that can be given to God. And one of the things that you heard from this team, it's not anything that any single person did or even the team did, but it's all about what the Lord did. And that should bring us confidence, because you, as a follower of Christ, or as you're walking with the Lord, we can trust that he's at work in people's lives wherever we go. And so now it's discerning and looking, okay, God, what are you doing? How can we join you in what you're doing? And so here's the pattern that we see. God uses someone who's willing to be obedient, and along the way, he'll lead them to someone who is seeking. There's all sorts of reasons why the person might be seeking. Maybe it's circumstances they found themselves in life. Could be difficult time. It could be things that they have just been observing. I know for me, I look back to when I was 16, there was so many questions and curiosity that have come into my life to where when someone shared with me about Jesus, I was ready, I was open. God had already done so many things to lead me to that point. And I think that we could say the same for, in this case, a testimony that you heard, Noemi's mom. Maybe she saw a change in her daughter. Maybe just things of life she had experienced. You see, Noemi's dad was the chief of the village when she was young. He died in 2018, but he was the chief, like the head chief over the whole village. This is the largest village on the river. Noemi had moved to the city to where she could go to high school, because the school in the village only went to about sixth grade. And so when she's in the city, a teacher shares the gospel with Noemi, and she gives her life to Jesus. Now, she has a heart to go back to her village to share the gospel. And along the way, she decided to go and get more training at a Bible school. And what are the odds that a team from Oklahoma would come and partner with the Bible school, and they would go to the exact village that she was from? And then, while in that village, what are the odds that a team, as we split up in a village, the largest village on the river, would go and would find her mom sitting on the porch? And they would share the gospel with her mom. What are the odds that God would have already prepared her heart and that she would be ready to surrender her life to the Lord? And the whole point of this is that the odds with God are 100%. It's not coincidental, it's not by accident, it is by the hand of God. And you can try to explain that, and I'm telling you, it's unexplainable, and I think those are just part of the mysteries of God and how he works and how he uses all these things, and I'm okay with that mystery. But I want to tell you that we have a God who is at work and is at work in your life. And so here's the pattern that we see. Think about it. Here, there's multiple examples. Jesus with Zacchaeus. Jesus surrounded by people, walking through this village. I mean, hundreds of people. We know there's so many people that Zacchaeus has to get up into a tree just to see him. Jesus walks by, knows that something's going on in this guy's life. He's seeking to even just see Jesus. And he stops and he says, hey, I'm going to come to your house today, right? Sorry, I just entered a song into your head, right? Climbed up into a sycamore. Anyway, and then he goes and he meets with him, and he's able this, and he becomes a follower, and he says, if I've defrauded anyone, and his life changes, transformation. Jesus and the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, we see where Jesus engages into a conversation. And this is the exciting part. When you and I are on mission with God, he just asks us to engage in the people around us. You don't have to go and just preach to every single person you see. That can become weird. But if you just engage in life, then the things of God naturally will come up. You know why? Because it's your passion. And so you'll share about who God is to you. And what you're trying to discern is this person seeking the things of God. And if they are, then there's this divine encounter that takes place. And if they're not, then you've planted a seed, as you've shared about Jesus, that maybe someone else will come along. One of our multiple plane rides, I said I had the middle seat. I had one guy on the ride I started with. His name's Jason. He doesn't speak English very well. We started talking, had a good conversation until he says, okay, I'm going to go to sleep, and puts in earplugs. All right. So then I talked to this guy, and I just engaged conversation. His name's also Jason. Works in the minefields, gold minefields, and great conversation. And he asked about what we were doing, and because it's my passion, I was able to share with him about the experience in Guayaba and how we were able to share the gospel. I shared the gospel with him. He didn't ask very many more questions and didn't seem all that intrigued. So I was like, all right, Lord, you're at work, right? Use it however you will. Like, I don't have to be weird about it. I just share and let God do those things. And, you know, so what our job is we're just willing. We do go through life. We identify when God is at work in someone's life and we join him. He's in control of it all. So there's great confidence wherever we go, whatever we're doing. Lord, here I am. And so my question is are you willing? Look at the next one. We see Peter and Cornelius. Now, this we see God's hand all throughout. He first speaks to Cornelius and says, hey, you need to send for this guy named Simon. So he sends people. While these people are on the way to go get Simon, the Lord sends an angel to speak to Peter to show him he needs to go with these people. He goes, shares the gospel. The Holy Spirit falls on these people, which was super surprising to Peter because they were Gentiles, and God had orchestrated it all. Peter had to just be willing to say yes, as even Danielle pointed out in her testimony. We see Ananias and Saul. Saul had been ravaging the church, right? He had been arresting people, had even cast his vote at the death of Stephen, the stoning of Stephen. And now he had got permission to go to a specific city to arrest people there. Along the way, encounters Jesus. Now God comes to Ananias and says, you need to go to this house on Straight Street, and because I have a servant there named Saul. Now Ananias is like, no, I've heard about Saul. He's been ravaging the church. I've heard that he has permission to arrest us here. I don't think I should go. But because he was willing witness, he obeyed God, prayed over Saul. Saul regained his sight. Man, he got to experience the very power of God. We see Paul and Lydia. Paul goes to this city. He hears about some women who are gathering together. They're praying. And so he goes to this gathering, shares about Jesus. Lydia's there. She's a wealthy lady who sells purple goods. She gives her life to Christ, now begins to host the church at her house. God uses her in mighty ways to reach people in her community. And then here, John chapter 9, we hear of a story. It's actually Acts chapter 8 of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch is another story I just want to point. Philip was one of the original seven chosen to make sure like that everyone was being taken care of, like the Hellenists and the widows. But he also was one that was obedient. And so God had told him to go down this one street. And as he's going down this one street, he comes to a guy, an Ethiopian eunuch. He's in a chariot. So he goes to the chariot. The Holy Spirit leads him to. He hears that the guy's reading from one of the scrolls of Isaiah. And he asks him, do you understand what you're reading? He goes, well, how can I unless someone explains it to him? He happens to be reading about one of the prophecies of Jesus coming, and so he starts with that prophecy, is able to share about Jesus. The Ethiopian surrenders his life to the Lord and says, well, there's water right there. Why should I not be baptized? Follows the Lord. A willing witness in Philip encounters someone who is seeking the things of God. He's reading of the scroll of Isaiah, a seeking soul. And then there's this just divine encounter. It can't be explained by anything else. You or I don't save anyone. It's all the work of the Lord. And so we see the very hand of God at work. What are the odds? What are the odds that Philip, as he's walking down this road, would encounter someone just like that? With God, it's 100%. Amen? Those are the odds. And so this is what I want you to see. There's great confidence. Walker Moore, a gentleman I got to work with, a missions organization, taught me so much. And he actually was one that he would always say, what are the odds? You know, and always pointed to God being at work and to join him in that. And I just learned so much from him. I remember I was in, we were in Panama. This is the very first jungle I'd ever been to. And we had got to go to a village that had never heard the gospel before, and we got to see God show up as the chief gave his life to the Lord. He ended up giving me a paddle. It's hanging on my wall in my office, so if you ever see the paddles on my wall, that's why. And, but I remember after seeing God move powerfully, Walker told this story about the blind man who received sight. And so John chapter 9, if you're there, I want to read it with you, ask a couple questions, and then we'll be done. Okay. As he passed by, he saw a blind man from birth, a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not this man, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the words, works of God might be displayed in him." So there is a theological question that is asked of Jesus. Hey, why was this man born blind? Is it because he sinned or his parents? Jesus answered, well, it actually is neither. It's so that God and his works would be displayed. Then listen to what he says. Almost as if he is turning the focus away from the question back to what should be prioritized. He says, "We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work." Night is coming. Night could be when Jesus returns. Night could be when you breathe your last breath. Night could be when this person breathes their last breath. Whatever the case is, night is coming, and it's going to be too late to work at that point. And so Jesus takes the focus off of the question and puts it upon the priority, and that is that we need to engage in this man's life. And so Jesus engages. He goes over to the man. He didn't just walk by like everyone else. I assume this guy's begging on the side of the road. Can you imagine how many times people have just walked by and didn't pay attention to him? Jesus goes, kneels on the ground. He spits in the dirt. He makes some mud. He wipes it on his eye. He tells him to go and wash in the pool called Siloam or Sent. And he does. And he comes back seeing. The question that I have is, why did Jesus spit? He could have spoke to the man. He could have, you know, another time there's a centurion who comes and says that his daughter is sick, and Jesus is like, well, take me to her. And the guy's like, well, you know, I too am a man of authority, and I just say it and people do it. I know you have way all authority. And so Jesus is like, man, I've never seen faith like this. And he just speaks it, and he goes, your daughter's going to be fine. And he finds out the very moment in which Jesus said that, she became well. So he could have just spoke. So why did he spit? We really don't know, and there has been speculation. As we were in this Panamanian jungle, and Jesus says, you know what we should do as Jesus did. So he challenged our team. He says, go do as Jesus did. He goes, make a ball of spit, a spit ball. So I grab some dirt, and I start spitting. I saved you guys from that. I'm not going to make one right here. But I did. I remember making this ball of spit, and Walker calls me over after he sees I have one, and I remember he grabbed my hands, and he looked me in the eye, and he says, Chad, why are so many Christians unwilling to get their hands dirty for Jesus? He said, look at your hands. Jesus' hands would have looked dirty just like this, having spit in dirt, wiped it on this guy's eye. He says he loved this man, and he engaged. And I remember in that moment, it broke my heart, and it has impacted me ever since then. That the people that we encounter are our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends, the people here in Skytook and the places that many of us don't go to very often. Did you know that they matter to God? And not only do they matter to God, but he has a plan for them, and I believe is at work in their lives. And it is when you and I become that willing witness, that we would be willing to go to them, that God will send us to them. The people you encounter on a day-to-day basis, whether it's someone at a restaurant or at the grocery store or wherever you're at, a coworker, a friend, I want to challenge you to think about it. We are not guaranteed tomorrow, but it's day right now, meaning we're here right now. And as long as we take today and in this moment and prioritize it and think about his kingdom over our own, then we won't be worried about what's going on in social media or in other people's lives, but we will take charge or bring priority to the moment and we'll be all there. Now think about it. If we think about, I'm not guaranteed tomorrow, I don't know that I'm going to be here next week, now there's priority. Are there people that I should be reconciled to? Are there people that I need to forgive and let them know that I forgive them? Are there people that God has placed upon my heart that unless someone shares with them, they are going to spend eternity separated from God? You start to feel the urgency. And Jesus brings that urgency to the disciples. And he helps them to see it's day. And we should be about the works of him who sent me as long as it's day because night is coming. So what are the odds? What are the odds that God would send a group of people, white people from Oklahoma, to go to a village full of black people, to be right there on the exact moment of Noemi's birthday, where she had just asked God and prayed that her mom would receive Christ, that someone would go and just so happen to share Jesus with her mom. And then her mom would surrender her life to the Lord. You see, with God, it's 100%. We can trust him. He's good. He hears us. And then it even challenged me in my prayer life. Do I urgently ask God to do things that could only be explained by him? Am I calling on God on someone else's behalf who does not know the Lord? Man. And so, with that in mind, I want you to think about, because Jesus engaged with this man, yes, he received his sight. What a miraculous thing. But I want to tell you, physical healings like this are still just temporary, right? Even Lazarus, who he raised from the dead, still died and breathed his last breath. And so physical healings, even though this guy could see, was still temporary because he still died at some point. But there is a healing that is way more miraculous, and that is that of a spiritual healing. In John chapter 9, look at verse 35. Jesus had heard that they had cast him out of the synagogue. You see, the religious leaders brought this man before them. How were you healed? Who healed you? They even went so far as like, we know this man's a sinner. And I love how the blind man responded. Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. Here's what I know. I was blind. Now I can see. He goes, I don't know. It's pretty miraculous, isn't it? So Jesus had heard that they cast him out, and so having found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he answered, and who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. And he said, Lord, I believe, and worshiped him. Jesus engaged in a man that everyone else had walked by. And because of that engagement, God was at work. God was at work in his life, to where when Jesus asked him about his belief, he was ready. Here was this divine encounter that could only be explained by God. And now think about your own story. I think of mine. Growing up, I had all sorts of questions in life, many of which I'd already made a decision because what I had seen in this world, I had just observed there has to be more. I'd went to church a few different times. I was very curious. I saw a guy on my baseball team in a Bible study, and I began to ask him questions about it. And he goes, man, you should really come. We have a great time. And again, God had been doing enough things in my life. I was curious, so I went. I saw in these kids, peers, a love for the Lord that I so desired. There was a joy in their lives that I wanted and I needed. And then when the gospel was shared, they shared with me about how there is a God, he is good, he is holy, and they shared with me, but there's a problem, and I'm not holy. It was pretty easy for me to see. It was easy to see that I was a sinner, not that I was a horrible kid or anything, but I knew that I had sinned against God and had gone my own way. And so they had shared with me the wages of that, like I deserve death and you deserve death. Again, all that was, I totally understood. So they shared with me about what God had done. that he loved me, and so he had sent Jesus to come. And in dying on the cross, he had paid for my debt, like I deserved that. It made sense to me. It made sense that someone had to die. If the wages of my sin is death, and then Jesus died like that, it clicked. I believe that the Lord spoke, like it was clear. Yes, it makes sense now. I'd always wondered, why did someone have to die? And so then when they shared with me that I could know him, I could be forgiven, God had already done all the work. I wanted him. I wanted to be free. I wanted to be made new. So I surrendered my life. What are the odds, right? What are the odds that all these things would take place, that I would see someone on my baseball team, that the curiosity was already there? And I just want to say, with God, it's 100%. And now think of your own story. Like, what are the odds that God would come and love someone like you? Like, I know you guys. Why would he love someone like you? You know? Like, me too. There's no reason other than just his grace. And I just want to say, and we get to be a part of what he's doing around the world. And here's the thing, we prioritize so many other things over him and his kingdom. How dare us? Over and over, we're challenged to live lives worthy of the gospel, live lives worthy of the price that has been paid, to forgive as we've been forgiven, and we cling to unforgiveness like somehow it's better for us. When he knows, if we'll forgive them, there's freedom found in that. Why is it that we are timid and shy when he's just asked us to be willing? It's not your responsibility to save anyone. If you'll just be willing to share of the goodness that he's shown and the grace he's shown to you, it's the power unto salvation. And we then, there's no greater joy to step back and to say, wow, God, I don't even know, but thank you for allowing me to be a part of this woman's story or this man's story or this child's story. And we step back and we say, God, only you, but God, right? And so just in the way of application, would you be willing to pray specifically and boldly for someone this week? I mean, cry out to him. Like, to have this faith, I think we use this word, this lady as an example, Noemi. This Bible school student is like, Lord, I just want for my mom to know you, right? Would you be willing to cry out for somebody? Would you be ready to get your hands dirty? And that's just a way to say, would you be willing to engage when the Lord leads you? Would you be willing to be obedient? I don't know why Jesus spit in the mud. Maybe it wasn't to show anything, but I do know that he has called us to obedience, and so let us respond in that. Let us obey and know with confidence that it's up to him. Like, we can be obedient and confident in that obedience because he's the one who does all the heavy lifting. He's the one that prepares the heart. He's the one who calls, like he's the one that's at work. And then would you treat every day as limited daylight? What I mean by that is, like, night's coming. Man, let it bring an urgency to today. Listen, because of time, I didn't even go to Matthew 25, where it's like this hand check type situation. It's like where when Jesus comes back in judgment, he's going to gather all the nations and he's going to separate them. The sheep on his right, the goats on his left, and the sheep, he's going to say, welcome to the kingdom, because when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was in prison or in the hospital, like, you came and visited me. You loved me. And they're going to say, when did we do that to you? Like, the humility of that is, when did we do that to you? He says, whatever you've done unto the least of these, you've done unto me. I don't know who the least of these. I think he loves us all equally. I don't know if that's the least in our eyes, or I don't understand the least. But I'm just, whatever that looks like, he's just saying, whatever you've done unto me. And then the ones on his left, he'll say, you know what? When I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was thirsty, you didn't give me anything to drink. You didn't come visit me. And they're going to be like, well, when did we not do all of that? Whatever you did not do unto the least of these, you didn't do unto me. I don't know if that's like a hand check because, listen, we don't do these things to earn salvation. It's not like we help people because, well, maybe then when I get to heaven, he'll say, well, welcome in, you did all these things. No, because we can't earn anything, right? It's only by the grace of God. But I do think when transformation has happened in our life, and we've talked about this a lot lately, is that it should be evident in our life. Like people should look at us and be like, wow, that person's different. There's a love and a joy in them I don't understand. When I go to them, they see me. Like when I talk with them, it's different. Like it's because we've been transformed. It's because there is a kingdom priority in our lives. But the ones who don't know him, they prioritize something else. And now I just want to tell you, don't be a sheep that looks a lot like a goat, right? I think that's an oxymoron. I think that for us, you know, we want to claim the good things of the gospel, like, well, he loves me, he forgives me, but I can still live however I want. That's not found in Scripture. Like, we don't obey God because it's some sort of weight. Well, I guess I got to do. No, no, no. It's because we found life in following after Jesus, looking like Jesus. Jesus, as we cling and abide in him, man, fruit comes through the branch. So, I just want to challenge you today. What is your priority? Are you willing? You know, his disciples, he called them, he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Huh. Some of us are like, well, I don't like fishing. You mean I got to talk to people? You mean I got to love people? And I just want to say, it defines our purpose and our mission. And when we prioritize other things, it becomes about me and my preferences, and what I want to do. And the ends of the earth are still unreached. Taidom, still unreached. And I think it's because we've taken some parts of the calling of God and we've left the hard ones, the ones we don't like. You're not going to find that in Scripture. You're not going to find where you can just partially obey or partially commit. Any potential, like, think of the ones that, like, potential language about that. It was the lukewarm. I don't know if you know this, but he spewed them out of his mouth. Think about it. And so, we prioritize him and his kingdom. Because he's God, because his way is better than ours. Trust him. His ways are good. Let's bow before the Lord. Father, I want to thank you for your word. Thank you for the challenge that you have given us, the testimonies of those who have gone on this trip. Lord, you do not need us to go to the other ends of the earth to experience you and your power. I pray that today that we are willing to step out of what is comfortable and to proclaim you and share you and engage in the people around us. I pray, Father, that your Spirit would lead us in such a way that we become courageous and bold and loving and gentle. So, God, we ask that you would move in power. If you're here this morning, and even as I shared about what God has done in my life and even done in this lady's life in Suriname and the many others that responded to the gospel, maybe today you would say, you know, I don't know if I know Jesus, and I just want to tell you that the response of the Bible is that you respond with belief. Just as this man who had been born blind, I believe. And then he worshiped Jesus. Today, would you identify, today I believe in Jesus. I want to know him. I want to be forgiven. I want to be made new. Then I want to tell you, then respond in belief. Call to him. Surrender your life and then pursue him. Know him. Be obedient to him. Tell somebody. The Ethiopian eunuch that we talked about, he said, well, there's water. Why should I not be baptized? Make it public, just like Amelia did this morning. I want to know him. I don't care who knows. I want to be like Jesus. So if you would stand as we worship, I want to challenge you. Respond as the Lord would lead. Maybe you know you have not obeyed. You have not told others. You prioritized other things. Man. man, lay them at the foot of the cross. If you're here, you want to know him, you come. I would love to encourage you, challenge you any way I can.